Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Sunday, February the 7th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on, Professor Joe, and Jeff, a financial expert. And we're going to be talking about some different things, but I'm going to let everybody throw in their own subject. And you brought up Supreme Court today, Paul. Would you go with that, please?
Yes. The news cycle can leave us dizzy, or it can give us whiplash, or it can put us in a state of massive cognitive dissonance, or it can leave us not knowing what to believe. I have been operating under some assumptions, some conjecture, some surmising. And about a year, over a year ago, I guess probably 14, 15, 16 months ago, I have a couple of friends, very bright guys, and their PhDs are in the heart sciences, the physical sciences. But they do provide great analysis, and their general thinking along with mine is, we have now got to the point where artificial intelligence or artificial superintelligence is writing the script for what we're experiencing with the headlines and the news stories and the puppets who we get to see. And then there's behind the curtain who some we know and some we should know, but probably can figure out. And then above them, of course, are the archons. But let's just get to one example. Supreme Court, supposedly on February the 21st, is now going to allow Sidney Powell to present evidence to them in their meeting. And from that, possibly, then they could choose to further hear evidence and look at what we all know is a stolen election that now they're bragging about. Time Magazine runs this huge disinformation piece. And if I had not been at this for 48 years, I described five or six different reactions that someone might have. And fundamentally, here's what people want. They want to believe in good cop, bad cop. They want to believe that justice is going to win out in the end. And I, too, want justice. And my thinking, though, after having read the Bible and studied it and looked at the secular information, is we are being psyoped. And not just one psyop, but a psyop within a psyop within a psyop. And so I'm going to turn it over to you guys with this conclusion. They're waiting until February 21st. Are you kidding me? Another, 14 days? So there is no urgency to any of this, apparently.
Now, this date that you're talking about, Paul, is the date that Sidney Powell is supposedly going to appear for the Supreme Court. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, I want to add something.
They keep stretching this out. And, you know, anytime Joel speaks, I listen. And he said, hey, here's where they've got us. They've got us, and we just got to wait and see. And I give it to you, Joe, because that's about where we're at. It's 15 below outside here today. And, you know, it feels like about 30 below it where I'm sitting. So,
And that's in Minneapolis, folks. He's that temperature because here in Kansas City, my God, it was like 5 degrees this morning or something. We're going to minus, I think by Friday or Saturday, we're going to minus 5 or 6 degrees at night. I mean, it's bizarre. We got the first hit and blast of winter, okay? This whole weather modification and harp. But now you mentioned Time Magazine. I want to mention something about it. At one time, Time Magazine reported the truth. Jonathan Beatty, Warren Beatty, the actor's brother, came to Kansas City and saw me and sat with me and Margie Sloan that wrote the book, The Mafia, CIA, and George Bush with Peter Burton. I gave him chapter 16 and 15, I think it was Silverado and the Silverado connection and the Chicago connection in that book. My name didn't appear because when it went to print, I was in federal prison, being held as a political prisoner. But they sat in Kansas City for 3 days with me going through all the shit I had. Down at a hotel, they both had separate rooms, all that stuff, but we had a conference room in Beatty's place, and so we unloaded. Well, he went and chased what was called BCCI, Bank of Credit and Commerce International, from that. But first he hit him with the Denver Airport fraud story, Time Magazine. Then he hit him with the Silverado story for me. And then he hit him with the Keating Five that broke the scandal of the illegal political campaign money laundering. And then the Attorney General has the Colorado Bureau of Investigation investigated, which I ended up working directly with the one of the female investigators. And later, I was in Denver, and this was after, or when I was living out there, and I invited her to go have dinner because I'd never met her in person. So I took her out to dinner. She met me at a place there for dinner, and on the way, they car crashed me, trying to kill me, so I couldn't have the meeting. Anyway, those kind of things happened. But Beatty, at the time, had gotten some of the information directly from her. He had also gotten information and broke the book, The Outlaw Bank, and he was writing it at the time that I got illegally arrested. I was hiding, and him and I were going to do a book deal. Now, Beatty was a good guy, and in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, he had Terry Reid out. During the period of time that he was doing the stories for me, and I didn't even know Terry Reid. And Terry Reid wrote the book Clinton Bush in the CIA. Good read. You'd still buy it, but he had to go silent because the FBI stood with guns at his head and his wife's head and told him to take $200,000 and take this business or else you're dead. Well, he didn't have any choice, but you can still sell your book. Nobody pushes it. I do. Now, he was hiding Terry out that I did not know about down there his summer house in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. I'm on the phone with Sharon Churcher with her Rollo Rivera's program called Now It Can Be Told. And she did a special because Sarah McClendon, the White House granddam of the Washington Press Corps, that asked George Bush in 1992, well, I'm hiding from the FBI. I hid for a year, by the way, folks, and did 70 some odd radio shows, big ones. It pissed them off. But anyway, she gave me the story about George Bush's girlfriend. And I forgot her name right now, but she did a story on Geraldo's evening program about it. The one that was in China, and she bore a kid of George Herbert Walker Bush when he was ambassador over there in China. And this is before he became CIA director in 75. But she bore a kid, and that was all secret. Well, Sarah knew about it. And so she gave me the story because she couldn't get it published, and she didn't really want to be involved. So I gave it to Sharon Churcher. She ran with it. Well, that's how I got hooked up with Terry Reid the first time, because she put me on the phone three-way with him. And he's hiding down at Beatty's house. And he didn't say where he was at, but he said, yeah, I know your guy writing for Time Magazine. But Beatty ended up, during that year, doing a book called The Outlaw Bank. It's a good read. Now, BCCI was all the Clinton-connected shit. And it was Lincoln Savings laundered tons of money into BCCI. Silverado laundered tons of money into BCCI, with Silverado, Neil Bush director, was the money launderer for Iran-Contra. And that was the company that my ex-witch doctor's father owned. He wasn't any father-in-law to me. I didn't want anything to do with him. She didn't either. But here's the point. During that period of time, Sarah McClendon, one point is, she asked George Bush, Herbert Walker Bush as president, he consented to an interview because he wanted to know what she was snooping on. And he says to her, or she says to him, she says, what will the American people do if they find out the truth about Iran-Contra and Iraqgate? He says, Sarah, if the American people ever find out the truth, they chase us down the streets and lynch us. Well, I think the American people might be at that point. But here's something else about Time Magazine. I heard it coming out of the witch doctor, I call her. I call her the big C word, folks, and I don't want to say it on the air. Nora O'Donnell, CBS Evening News, comes on and says, oh yeah, our parent company, Viacom, that owns CBS News, blah, 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 saying something about it. Viacom bought out Time Magazine. How Viacom came about was beginning around the 1992 time frame when Daddy Bush was president of the United States and Ross Perot was pushing him out the door. a guy named James M. Lyons, the attorney for Bill and Hillary Clinton, sat on the board of directors of the company called MDC Holdings, parent company in Denver, that its subsidiary company was Silverado Savings and Loan. Another subsidiary company is the Asset Investors, which bankrupted the American people at the tune of $100 trillion in false mortgages. And but back to Silverado, on the board of directors of MDC Holdings, the parent company sat James M. Lyons. James M. Lyons' son started Viacom. And they did a, something about The President's Plane was their first movie privately that took them public on Wall Street so they could scam the investors of their money over the years. And that's what happened. But Viacom is James M. Lyons' son, and at the time he was on the board of directors acting in behalf of an attorney to then Bill Clinton, President of the United States, and Hillary Clinton, the first lesbo in the White House, first lady lesbo, we call her. But Time Magazine's been absorbed like every other company. Back in 1992, all the media was taken over. It was taken over completely by Leonard Milman in Denver, which is now Larry Mizell, the occupied alien fallen angel living in him, who took control of Milman's assets of $100 trillion when he died in 2004. But it was Milman. He hit ABC and he hit Mickey Mouse, and they bought that out. He already had through an oil tycoon in Denver who was his front buffer, they call him. Trying to think of his. Hold on just a moment. I'm tying something together. But this guy owned one of the other networks. Then Brofman, Seagram 7, that answered to Milman, who was the Lucky Luciano takeover. I mean, Brofman bought out one of the networks, and Daddy Bush bought the other network. So they owned ABC, CBS, NBC in 1992. And that's when I saw the takeover. During that period of time, I'm hiding from the FBI, but shortly thereafter, I get out of jail, and it was a complete takeover of all the congressional investigations and everything. Everything stopped. It was the takeover of America. Was that basically, I believe, in that 1992 to 1994 time frame when they took it all over. And they were having heyday. And all we've heard is nothing but propaganda ever since that time, spilling off these TVs. And it's all the friggin' networks are involved. They bought Fox, they bought the Cocaine News Network, they call it CNN, the whole bit. We see this. So, in my opinion, the Congress and Senate are all corrupted. There might be four or five of them up there that are okay. Ron Paul and Jim Jordan and a few others. The rest are corrupt, folks. They've been there forever, and it's all involving voting machines. It's involving satellites with Westar and E-Systems of Dallas, Texas, the shadow government within the government. It's them, Daddy Bush, and he set this up. And that 1992 time frame, it was completed. And we've been screwed and lied to ever since. Now, we come to present day situation. Supposedly, on the 20, whatever it is, Sidney Powell's going to present her case before the Supreme Court of the takeover of that it was the false elections, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're assuming that's going to be. But what is this always been? A cliffhanger out here. It's always, yeah, we're going to get justice, the big cliffhanger. We're never going to get justice. We haven't gotten justice. And I want to see friggin' justice. I want to see justice for the Congress and Senate and what they're doing. I want to see justice restored in the courts, got rid of all these bogus judges that they've appointed. They're all federal level, have been Daddy Bush, Junior fraud, Clinton fraud, and Obama fraud judges. Where are the clean judges? Where do the people get justice? You can't do it. We don't have the courts to do it. We don't have the Congress and Senate. And then we got whores like Nora O'Donnell. This tramp. CBS Evening News with Nora, the C-word, O'Donnell, who sits in her husband's restaurant in Washington, D.C. every night entertaining the Congress and Senate. I mean, this filth is so intertwined. And these stooges have spilled this garbage out there. They need to be dealt with. If I were in the restaurant in Washington, D.C. and didn't get caught, I would be, and Norrell, Donald was there, I'd be charged. I'd have temporary insanity. With that said, Joe, pick it up, would you please?
Well, again, what we have to understand is Paul, now this would come over to you. The way that you phrased it was this was not a standing before the Supreme Court. This was a behind-the-doors interview.
Correct.
Now, my interpretation is that it was a hearing before the Supreme Court. So I don't know which is which.
Well, I'd lean into your research. I only gave it a cursory. I've been engaged on some other things. I actually gave you a private phone call on another topic that I need to pick your brain on at some time in the future. Joffrey, hey, I want you to do acapella American Pie to close us out today. It's Spirit Circus, Red Circus. We own nothing, but we're happy. I have a financial quote that I want to read that Stu has actually, he's handled so adroitly that it's overkill for me to read it. But the transfer of wealth has been so enormous, and I want to get to that, but get to some of that. You are, we call you our everyman gauge. In other words, when we say things, you listen, you're a learned guy, you're a smart guy, we know each other. What do you make of what you're hearing from me and from Stu and Joel?
I see pieces and parts of the narrative that we hit on that are hot spots. And like I say, they're components, they're spokes in a wheel. You know, it's hard to see the whole wheel sometimes. You know, you got to step back, and I guess we got to ask ourselves, what is the whole wheel? What is the big objective? And we have to be moving to Agenda 2021 through 2030. What's that do? You know, you mentioned earlier about the AI, and I've got to believe maybe 20 to 30% now, maybe, of what is interjected into web chats, into dissemination on the news networks. It's probably a number that we'd be astounded by. And, you know, we're getting responses back. I've had some people I know who were just having a conversation in their home and didn't say, hey, Alexa, ask it a question. They didn't do that. They asked a question about what happened to a certain individual. Well, he was assassinated, shot to death. So that came out of the blue from Alexa, and they looked at each other. Did you hear what I just heard? So, you know, I think we're to a point where we live in a partial reality. And I think we have visions of things that are reality and things that are kind of blurry. And yet, I think being able to distinguish between those things is getting harder to do. And listening to you guys talk, it seems that seems to be the case. You'll zero in on something and kind of hone down on it. And like you say, I kind of sit back and listen and maybe have some thoughts along those lines. So, you know, we need to be tracked. We need to be tagged and bagged, as I think you guys have mentioned. We need to be part of, again, I'm going to say this, part of the blockchain, the Internet of Things. We need to be identified by having a swab up our nose and leaving traces of a nanoparticulate that tracks bodily function, that tracks movement, that tracks physical attractions in a sense to another person and responding to that. It's all taking us down to that point where I stopped and thought last night, at what point are we maybe considered we've made the leap to partial human, transhuman technology? At what point are we that? And maybe not even aware of it. But anyway, those are some thoughts I had, and listening here is where's all this going? And we're going to see an economy that has to fade because it's just designed to. It's overweighted with entitlements. You can flood it with capital, with phony money. But the reality is the production of this economy isn't enough to sustain the components of the economy. So, Yeah, we're in a weird situation, guys. I mean, and you know that. But I still say the bigger picture pulling back is Agenda 21, what's it look like? How close are we? What are they doing to get us there? And what are they doing we don't even know they're doing? Then I'll turn that back to you guys.
No, I want to bring this back around because you brought up something earlier, Joe. We were talking. And one of the things we were talking about was that what had come out recently. And we ended up in conversation regarding Morris Dees and Southern Poverty Law Center and some of the other stuff. Would you talk about that for a few minutes?
Well, this is how things can flip. That's why it was, why I brought it up. Morris Dees actually was an anti-integrationist, and he was on that political side of the spectrum. But then he flipped over and started the Southern Poverty Law thing because he could make money. Then we go further down the road, and it turns out that he was doing certain things with a second wife that he shouldn't have been doing.
With
then
the
he got tossed out of the Southern Poverty Law thing. So that is an example of how one guy flips over. What did he flip over for? Wanted the money.
Now, Morris Dees, recently he's surfacing on the news, and he's surfacing here and there, and it's probably because of the Trump trial coming up, supposedly impeachment. Well, let me tell you about Morris Dees and Southern Poverty Law Center, folks. It's Mossad. It's the Israeli Mossad. This son of a bitch, if I ever saw him, I would hurt him. I would. He wrote a book called The Coming Storm. He's got me in it. It calls me an anti-Semitic that made death threats to Jewish families in Denver and that was locked up in a mental hospital. My ex-father-in-law brought charges against me of supposedly terroristic death threats to him, never occurred. And the judge ended up in a case. One judge's son died. He was recused or pulled off, and the honest judge was assigned Richard Mach to my case. And he screamed at the prosecutor to shut up. He asked him the question, the shrink, is there anything the matter with Mr. Webb? She says, no, there isn't. And he shouldn't have ever been sent here because there was no proof of wrongdoing. No evidence. Oh, we have tapes of him. Folks, you can go listen to the tapes. They're right there on my website. Those are the honest tapes. But words like Iran-Contra were taken out of the prosecutor, etc. Go listen to tapes. Is there any death threat in there? No. I was locked up. $50,000 cash bond. Okay. Had to pay. Couldn't get out. And so I sat there for 10 and a half months. When he dismissed the case, he screamed at the prosecutors because they said, Judge, please don't dismiss with prejudice. We have spent, the government has spent $750,000 prosecuting this case. And the judge got up off his rear end and he slammed his gavel down and he says, you're telling me that the government wasted $750,000 prosecuting an innocent man? This case is dismissed with prejudice. He says, Mr. Webb, I suggest you seek remedy for what they have done to you. And he says, I suggest you seek counsel to get that remedy that you deserve. In other words, go sue their asses. Now, I thought that was pretty bold of him to say that. But Morris Dees writes this garbage about me. He's a disinformation artist, the Poverty Law Center. They popped up during the Oklahoma City bombing, folks, looking for militia groups, looking for groups holding meetings. All these people were very patriotic out there with 1,000, 1,500 people show up on their meeting on a Saturday and they'd have a patriotic discussion. And the Ross Perot movement was pretty heavy during that period of time. I met Joe in 1994 because I was doing a whole circuit of speeches during that period of time. I saw the people out there. I went to 42 states doing speeches. They're big groups. What happened? Morris Dees comes in, starts pointing the finger at everybody, writing this disinformation that this group's anti-Semitic and this group's anti-Semitic. And in Oklahoma City bombing, their false flag happened. Get rid of evidence. And when they blew the building up, what did they do? They targeted those groups with the media, writing stories. Oh, there's a group in Colorado and such, and they hold a meeting at such, such time, and they're all a bunch of anti-Semitic pigs. Now, how could I be anti-Semitic? That means you hate Jews. when my daughter's a Jew by her mother? Answer that question, Morris Dees. You called me in your book, Coming Storm, an anti-Semitic. How dare you, fuckbrain. Anyway, he's out there. More disinformation. All I see is disinformation every place. Now, it comes back to what you have said, Paul, about the confusion going on everybody. Talk about that, would you please?
Yes. They understand how the human works. And their most obvious agenda, divide, and conquer. And the best way to divide and conquer is to get me thinking you're the problem, or Joel's the problem, or Joffrey's the problem. They want to first divide the family, of course, and then they want to divide the clan, and then they want to divide the tribe, and then they want to divide the nation. And I would make an argument that they've done a pretty good job at the family level. They've done a pretty good job at the clan level, pretty good job at the level that is national. And it's because they understand how we think, how we work, how we process information. And this, of course, swings me back to my AI, artificial intelligence, artificial superintelligence, and the Grimm's technology. Just to update the audience, if you're not familiar with the Grimm's technologies, they are genetics, that's the G. The R is robotics and artificial intelligence. The I, you already know, it's information technology, it's the Internet of Things. You can fill in the blank with other components of it. The N is nanotechnology. And the S is synthetic biology. All of these technologies are being employed. And it's not just one way that they're coming at you, but they've got multiple agendas, and they have one big agenda, and that's H+. It's called transhumanism. It's called no longer human, augmented human, synthetic human, and they think they're going to be immortal. But of course, those of us that aren't in their club, and by the way, you don't want to be in their club, well, we have to go. Joffrey, can I come back to you, and can you amplify what I'm talking about a little bit from your perspective?
Yeah. One of the things I was looking at lately was how do they implement, how do they inject these particulates, this nanotechnology in the human body? And, you know, we tend to think, well, through the nasal cavity and through what we breathe and what we harness through our noses, you know, supposedly we're supposed to wear a mask over our mouths because of the saliva. And if we spit on somebody, they could get a virus. Technically, a virus is still something that's a moving target that nobody really is sure of if it's something that exists, because we exhale exosomes in our nasal cavity. It's almost like a faucet on the sink. You know, you're pouring the water out, but you're exposing part of these exosomes, and you're getting debris. That's why your nose runs when you have a cold. You're eliminating bodily functions that are harmful to your immune system. So if they need to do a nasal swab, why can't they do a saliva swab for the same result? But what they're doing with the nasal, my understanding, what they're doing with the nasal swab is they're getting near the, and you guys know the medical term for it, I don't, but you get near that brain membrane, but you deposit them, you twist the swab, you deposit the particulate, the nanoparticulate, and that helps to enter the brain. And the fact that they can do so much is that you can transmit from that. You can be seen. You wouldn't even have to have your phone on you. But that's the beginning of the tagging we talk about. that brings and invites in a whole set of abilities that they're sitting there on the other side of the curtain with that makes them interact with you and me and anybody who wants to have a test done. So you don't need a vaccination to have the same result as a test. You can get the same result. But I think the degradation of the human, you know, where, let's look at the, let's do an anal swab. Let's do a, now it's a cavity swab on a woman in her vaginal area. I mean, this is just going to the point where dehumility, I mean, we're really just being prodded. But Boris Johnson's dad was
prodded and pricked. And by the way, virus in Latin means poison. Continue, please.
Yes. So Boris Johnson's dad, being a eugenicist that he was, well, you know, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. So out of the guys that they care, Boris now wants everybody to be vaccinated. Yet his dad preached eugenics. We have too many people on the planet, and we're taking up their space. I kind of have a theory that the extremely wealthy people have probably reached the point where they have enough yachts, they have enough land, they have enough things, they have what they want, and we're to the point where we really, honestly, other than keeping maybe specialized individuals in maybe certain fields, you know, you got your chefs, you got your plumbers, you got your technicians, you got your electricians, they don't really need the masses anymore. I think we're past that. So we are in the extermination phase with the giant can of raid. And I think we're obviously the targets. And as we see humans begin to fail a little bit in their immunity and in their function, this is all good things. But it's under the guise of they care. And that's the irony of all of this. You know, when we're getting information being pumped out, hey, this is for you, hey, this is for your kids, they still have to have people that comply. And they're getting that compliance through steps. And those steps have been, again, one mask, two masks, no, three is better. Hey, we keep doing it, we keep complying, and they keep adding on burden. And it's kind of like, hey, make more bricks. You know, you have the same quota, we're going to take some of the straw away from you. Well, the Israelites make more bricks. I think that's kind of the theory I see right now.
Great, great insight, great analysis. Stu and Joel, what say you guys?
Go ahead, Joel.
Well, like I say, we're at a point to where we have to wait and see. Like I said, is this a kind of an interview kind of thing, even if the Supreme Court does such a thing with Sidney? Or is this a standing before the bench? What is it? So if it is standing before the bench, then that means they are going to rule on the corruption of the last election, which will say yay or nay. If it's nay, well then, Biden stays in. If it's nay, Biden's out. And that's what we got to wait and see. And on what was the date again? Oh, February 1st.
21. So I 221. I'm not very good at gematria. They do everything by the numbers anymore, and there must be some significance to the date. But my bigger point, and I am in agreement with you that we are just part of a narrative that just keeps cascading. And while it's cascading, things are happening behind the scenes, and it's difficult for me to even surmise or conjecture what's happening behind the scenes, because I've got so much disinformation, misinformation, and I'm so disciplined to be cautious and skeptical that all I can conclude is they had all of this information by the 10th of November. But actually, if you go back and listen to what we were saying, we were talking about how this whole election was going to be contested way back from a year ago. And a year ago, we weren't prescient, or we didn't exhibit any tremendous insight. We were just looking at what the evidence was, and that they were going to continue to divide, so that they could have us fighting each other and think that the left is the problem and the right is the problem, or the liberals are good and the conservatives are bad, or the blues are good and the reds are bad. You know, it's good cop, bad cop. And the real issue, of course, I have is that they have figured out how we think. And we want a good cop, bad cop narrative, and they're giving it to us. And anyway,
let me read.
I have a question for you guys, if I may. Any of you. You know, what are we actually dealing with? Are we dealing with I wouldn't call it a failed judicial system, but it certainly is not necessarily all-encompassing. It's segmented out to satisfy and serve a certain part of the segment of the population. But have we transitioned, Stu, Joel, Paul, to, are we at a point where we had an interference, acknowledged we had an interference from a foreign entity, which puts us into a different category? We're no longer operating now as status quo. We have had an interference in an election. Has that disabled, in a sense, the judicial system, because they've stepped back, they haven't wanted to look, the Supreme Court didn't want to look at these voting machines, they didn't want to look at the data, they passed on it. Have we transitioned to where now possibly the military is calling the shots? Are we getting both? I wonder who's listening to who. So when you have evidence that comes up like this, and somebody wants to present their case about five states and certain counties within those states that have such irregularities that they can't possibly be mathematically possible to happen. Have we transitioned to what? Who's listening to who, and where are we at with that? That would be my question to you guys.
I'd like to address this real quick. This comes from Sydney Power herself. It's an email she sends out if you get on her list. Sydney Power and Gerald Flynn purged from Twitter, hyphened along with 5 million plus users account. Sydney Powell update. Twitter permanently banned Sydney Powell, Michael Flynn, etc. And then it's on her link of Just News. Now, she has this on her website because she sends them out, so she would post them up there, sydneypowell.com. Move comes after temporary block of Trump earlier this week in the news. Sydney Powell media, Nancy Pelosi, chief of staff, is chief executive, and Feinstein's husband, a shareholder at, and then I can't read the rest of the link here. Here's another one. It says, Serbia Patriot provides new sworn evidence of foreign interference in our election connecting the CIA, a company owned by General Petraeus, Dominion, and a visit to it by Hunter Biden. And she's got a link here. And then she's got Sidney Powell Supreme Court cases, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And that's what she's recently put up, okay, that she sends out in her newsletter. That came a couple days ago in my email. So what is going on there on the 21st? I don't know, but I got, you know, a friend that's a former prosecutor, and she claims that it would be sometime in March by the time if... And she believes they're going to prove that he won the election. What does that mean? I don't know.
Well, let me just interject something. And once again, I would go with other guys if you've got better data than me. But what I read is that possibly they could put it on their docket if they agree to hear Sidney Powell in September. Now, I can always be wrong. That's the important thing for everyone who ever engages with me to understand, is I can always be wrong. But I just feel like we are being played. And then I have a question for you, Stu. Are we at the 10-minute warning? Because I want to do these in 15
minutes.
Yeah,
we're at 40 minutes. We're at 40 minutes now, so we're getting up there.
Okay, 10-minute warning. And I guess, you know, for the super... the Super Lucifer show at halftime, I wanted Don, because I think American Pie is the most fitting song for the Super Bowl halftime show. I don't know who they're going to give us instead. Joffrey, I know that you're my karaoke guy, and if you could look at the lyrics and for your closing part, sing us American Pie, I would be eternally grateful. In the meantime, Stu and Joel, what say you guys in closing remarks?
Here, I want to bring up a subject that was brought up to me last night, and I think it could be on. I heard this week that Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, had two-thirds of the people in Israel vaccinated now. Now, this vaccination, we had Charlene on, and this was a discussion with her last night off the air, and she was telling me, because she's a, was going to be a preacher and all, and she's hot-headed at times, but a nurse, anyway, good person. She brought up the fact, because I mentioned, she mentioned that she believes that Bibi Netanyahu's the Antichrist, and she started talking about it. Well, he's supposed to rule from Israel, and Joe brought up something, or she did, that they're building a temple or have the temple built or something and all this other stuff in another conversation. But she brought up the fact that the other third of Israel are going to be vaccinated within this month. Within this month, Bibi ordered it to be done. Now, these aren't the true Hebrews that live in Israel, folks. These are from all over Russia. Khazars, a lot of them. You know, a lot of people over there. But Israel came about in 1947 through a slaughter of 40,000 Palestinians, which are the true Hebrews in biblical times, DNA. Now, they occupied that land before they came in and put their flag up, and I think their flag is kind of weird with its star. If you look at it, it looks a satanic star to me. Now, they slaughtered 40,000, put them in mass graves, drove them out into Palestine, into other areas when they did it. 1948, the UN, United Nations, declares them to be the state of Israel. These people have stolen everything we have. They've created a web with their Inslaw software. And Joe, I want you to talk about it in a minute, about Intel, etc. I mean, it's a nest where they know everything about you if you have a telephone or if you have a TV on. They can see you. If you remember back in the early 90s, they outlawed until the Chinese and Japanese and making these big flat screens and the bigger TVs, etc. They outlawed them, wouldn't allow them to be sold in the United States unless they had a certain chip in it. That was so they could look at you and see you with a satellite. You just pop right in there on that chip. I mean, this control. And then you've got nanoparticles being sprayed on us with chemtrails, which is Hannah Kruger, HannahsHerbShop.com, recommend everybody get their herbs there, good stuff. I knew her personally, before her death. She had these big crates, whatever they were, big plastic things erected and put out there in her farm where she grew her herbs. Find out what they were spraying. She found barium and aluminum and about five other metals. Other people that you punch chemtrails in the internet, it still comes up different places. That's U.S. Air Force. Operation Cloverleaf and two other operational names that they use. And they spray it all across the country. We get sprayed here in Kansas City about twice a week. You can see it. Big old glob goes out instead of a contrail is a plane hitting moisture in the air and it dissipates, disappears after a period of time. Chemtrails spread out and come to the ground. It's in our atmosphere up to 40,000 feet all the time. Floats out there. That gets in your lungs. They showed on the local TV here, I saw it on the news, they showed a corpse x-rayed of this guy, one of the first victims of the coronavirus. His brain had shrunk and his lungs were full of some kind of metal they indicated because they were glowing on the x-ray. That's what we have in our lungs now. You take 5G or you take Wi-Fi and you turn it on, do you think you're not feeling it? I guarantee you are. They're electrocuting us right now. The things people are dying of COVID virus, their lack of potassium, magnesium, zinc, and vitamin D are the four things that most people are dying of. They're lacking in their body. They're not getting the proper nutrition because of all this cloned food that we're growing. If you look at Iowa, I wouldn't eat any corn out of that place. They're making gas out of it. I wouldn't. It's fried. Like up there in central Nebraska, just east of Hastings, all that farm land that the government owns and subs out and big fronts for the CIA companies and stuff where they have a big base underground. All that's trash. I wouldn't eat that stuff either. We're getting nothing. We get chemtrailed. We're being killed with our own foods. We're being controlled by a bunch of Satanists. And Israel plays a huge part in this, in the Antichrist going to take over. Now, Joel, jump in here for a minute on this communication thing. You're pretty up to date on this with Israel.
Well, just like anybody else, I go to the different websites, listen to what people have to say, and then use my own logic to bring things through. The key on all of this, again, is the importance of understanding the promised wear paper that involved Bill Hamilton, who invented it, going all the way to other people that were not so nice, to the theft of the promised wear system and the development of that in what we call the Topia program, which was developed by Israel to take the finest and the best out of the military that were very intelligent and do these startup companies. And it's just simply to say Mossad owns the cyberware battle. And it is because of promiseware. They can go into any computer, anywhere, go through the back door and get the data.
That's what they're doing.
Simple as I can put it.
Now, some of this was written about, I think, by Whitney Webb, as I recall, and the 8200, I think, or something they got into, or she got into. But there's a new base down there in, where the old lake used to be there in California. You want to talk about that, Joe?
Well, there's approximately 26 underground bases. That's the general consensus among people who get into this. There was one guy. Now, this is where it's very interesting, because the biggest fear that these elitist computers, cyberspace tyrants, as I call them, fear the most are these hackers that are messing around, and they break into a system like Terrence McKenna did, and he broke into Naval Space Command. And he laid out the bills of lading that were being used in going to outer space on the moon. So that'll throw a monkey wrench into people's logic.
Now,
because
go ahead.
You have something that is out there that is very powerful. And this hacker, this other hacker, and by the way, if you want to see where Stu Webb's friend Ed Slade worked, Area 52 is the real name, go to Google Maps and they'll let you look, and you can see now. Well, another guy hacked the area, and they have built another huge base as big as Area 52, which is the northeast of Area 52.
Now, they also built a, what's that dry lake down there in California?
Lake.
No, Joel. Or in Arizona. It's between Phoenix and San Diego.
29 Palm.
Oh, you're talking about Salton Sea.
Oh, Salton Sea. Yeah, I heard that.
What you're referring to is your friend Jim Rothstein got very interested in, because he's tracing down about pedophilia. It crossed paths with the alien connection. And there is, from Yuma all the way up to the Naval Weapons Testing Center, it's the biggest hive of underground bases and advanced technology. And what he was talking about was, there is a Marine Corps Testing Center that goes from Yuma all the way up to Quartzsite City in Blythe.
29 Palms, I think it's called, isn't it?
Now, 29 Palms area is what would they call the Marine Corps Air Center, of where the Marine Corps uses the desert to do their training. And that's where it's called 29 Palms. Supposedly, there's a lot of UFOs that are stored by the Marine Corps at 29 Palms.
Could be. Now, John Lear, he was a test pilot there at 51, and he was a Vietnam CIA pilot. He's quite famous. His father owned Lear Jets. And in 1952, he sold Lear Jets to his partner, who they started it with. And he took a contract in secret to build 150 saucers for the United States government. That's fact, folks, from 52 to 59. It was because of the alien agreement. The aliens are the fallen angels. And they made an agreement with them. Our government did. Eisenhower didn't want to do it. His daughter's out there very outspoken about it, too. Maybe I'll interview her soon. Here's the point, is that we made 150 of them for our arsenal. It was the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement, which was extended, as Otis Johnson told me. Now, Otis had been out to Bluffdale, came back and said it was six floors below ground, and told me they had an alien base on the south side, that I was right. Now, he said they also built a big FEMA camp out there. All they did was put up barbed wire fencing, 10 foot tall, with a special barbed wire around it to hold a mass of people when they activate FEMA and start rounding them up. Well, Joe Biden just activated FEMA, and he sent 15,000 troops, has been all over this propaganda machine called TV, that he's going to have them vaccinate people. He's setting up centers all across the United States. He said he wants 100 million within the first 100 days vaccinated. He wants all other Americans vaccinated by the end of the year. I'm not taking that vaccination. That vaccination is proven, and I'm going to let Paul or Joe talk about it, about what it does to the human body. It melts it down. Protein, protein, protein. But also has it also has the mark of the beast in there. And I had a video by a German scientist, a friend of mine sent me, an attorney, and I looked at it and then disappeared when I went to put it up on my site. It was gone. I should have saved it. I didn't have the software to do so. Now I got a free edition, supposedly, that a friend told me about. Maybe I can save some of these. But it showed everything. And how the first time you go in to use your card and you don't do it, they won't take your card anymore, your bank card, because cash is going to be dissolved, which I think is maybe happening. They're trying to. The spread of COVID virus, they'll claim. You go in and you get swiped. All you do is give them your birth date, your social security number, and your name. They punch it in the computer to pay your bill with, and they swipe you and you're automatically activated. And he showed how they're going to do it. I mean, it's incredible tape. But it's going to have everything, all your financial history, all your medical history, everything about you on that chip. Now, we had Charlene, a nurse, on, talked about this the other day, and all the deaths, death. All these people dying of heart attack within 2 weeks after taking their first dose. I say to the New World Order, to the United States Congress, to this bent mentality of all these so-called journalists that aren't journalists, please take the shot. Show an example to the American people of what you're made of. Now, Joe, Paul, would you jump in and tell the people what it does to you? Your immune system, maybe Joe or Paul, whichever.
I'll simplify things. It attacks your immune system and creates an autoimmune system response, and your immune system turns on itself, and we're all slightly different. So it's going to affect all of us slightly different, but it's not medicine. It's an operating system. Much like a backdoor in a computer, it's a backdoor to poison your immune system and create havoc. And I know, and I'm not a truth machine, but I think people getting 24 to 36 months, that would be a favorable outcome for most people. I think we're going to, in the next 12 months, with the activation, further activation of 5G, 4G, all of those frequencies, we are just going to see a mess like we've never seen before. We are really ready for things to cascade, go swifter, and I can only say brace yourself, guys. I think we're out of time for today. But we should do another rebroadcast then soon.
Okay, do you have anything to say on this, Joe?
Yeah, Paul, when we get off the air here, I'll give you a call for you. I have your information that you want.
Cool, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, Joe, right. You got any last words?
Let me leave you with this one thing, everybody. This all revolves around transhumanism. And right now, they're doing the first experiment, Elon Musk, of where they take the patch that has the tiny nano wires that go down through the top of your head into your brain, where that now the brain becomes the computer. They're gonna start experimenting with it now.
Wild stuff.
Neuralink, called Neuralink, and they've been using it on monkeys, having the monkey play a game. Electronic game, he's actually going to be able to play the game with imparted wisdom from the chips. Yep.
Joffrey's happy too, remember that. The monkey is happy now that he's playing computer.
That's about the way it is. Now, all I can say is, look, you better get right with God, all of us. And we better start listening to what he's saying, because we're at a day that, I mean, look, if they vaccinate 2/3 of the people on the planet, could that be the, you know, in the book of Revelations about 2/3 of mankind dies? They don't have to battle anybody, really. With the aliens here, 200,000 of them registered with the United States government, the aliens, the fallen angels, and they cloned 10 million plus people in Hope, Arkansas. And they got all the technology they want. They can kill you at random. They got the death ray out there in outer space that knocked the towers down on 9/11. They got that in outer space. They can pick you off, as Otis told me, and a couple other spooks. They could pick anybody off they want on the planet. You could be standing among 300 people, and all of a sudden you just disappear. And there's no dust on the ground. It's called the death ray. And the wrong people are in charge of these toys. They want the human race dead. Remember what?
Technology.
Yes.
Technology.
Used with, once again, the Inslaw software helped bring that about. I talked to Bill Hamilton one time about it, and he said he didn't doubt it. The technology's there. Now, if they've got these toys, and they're going to vaccinate everybody, and Joe Biden says every American's going to be vaccinated, I talked to an attorney about this. Nope, I have the right to make that choice. Now, if you want to go make that choice, well, you're going to meet the devil one of these days, possibly. You're going to definitely start melting down if you do that. I think we're in a battle. And you know what? You look at what Bibi Netanyahu just did to all those people, and he's going to have, all of them are going to end up dead at some point. Wow. Could mankind be dying? Could the devil get us with the vaccinations? 2/3 of mankind? Maybe. We know that Revelation 13, it says the mark of the beast. Can't buy or sell without that mark. Dispensationalism's out here. Preachers are out here. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. I've laughed at these things. These ones on national TV are a disgrace to the human race. And with that said, who wants to lead us in prayer? Jeff?
Sure, Beth. Lord, help us to consider all these things that you would have us to consider. We are not our own, and we would ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to the words and the revelations of your book, because there is the truth. And from the truth, Lord, we can find the streams of life. And I would just ask that the listeners of us here talking and praying, we would see the days and be wise for what's in them. And we wouldn't be caught unaware. We wouldn't be caught in an embarrassing situation at your return. We might not be pleased, or you might not be pleased to find us in as you warn us. We may very well be to the point, Lord, where you tell us, hey, flee, don't go back and get your coat. We could be to the point where things are moving rapidly, just like birth pains get worse, they accelerate. They don't let off until the birth happens. Feels like this country and this world is groaning with the burden of of man and sin and Satan's realm that he operates in, which we're in right now, we can take great comfort in the fact that we can reach to you and you can reach to us, and that you would pursue us mightily. We are in need of your pursuit. We often don't even know what to ask. But I would just say to the listeners, we pray for their wisdom, how to deal with each day, the burdens that they face, things that they run into in their lives, seem insurmountable, they're not. We don't give up, we don't stop, we don't quit, we don't go backwards. We have one direction, and that's forward. Pray to give us the strength to do so. Pray that again, your will be done on this earth. Man has his ideas, but God, you direct the waters, you direct the streams. Let us be willing, let us be open, let us be understanding. If there's someone you need us to reach out to, or listener, if you have somebody that you feel God's putting on your heart you need to reach out to, please do it, because we don't know how much time we do have. But again, mercy, kindness, generosity, love, be the light, be the bright light, city on the hill, that's what we're called to be. I would ask that you bless us, bless the program, bless the people, bless the listeners. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and his blood that purifies all. Give this over to you, Lord. In your precious name we ask, amen.
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 Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, dude. Later.
Take care.
Okay, guys. Bye.